Hello, everybody, and welcome to our PH360 webinar today. Thank you so much for joining us. It's fantastic to have you all here with us. And I just wanted to first thank you so much for joining us. It's absolutely fantastic to have you here on this amazing webinar. We're hoping you're going to get so much out of it. And just wanted to share with you all, again, the reason why we're here. And we have a very, very large mission that we're encountering on, embarking on, and we are looking at changing world health. And PH360 is such an amazing step that we've been working on for the last 10 years to really come to a point in time where we can offer so much detail and so much insight for everybody to truly understand who they are, to find out how unique they are, and to really start to learn about themselves in a way that can be very, very beneficial for them with information that they may not be able to achieve before. And so our team, for those of you who are on this call, you would have experienced PH360 so far. I'm sure you can see by the passion behind our team, the amazing support that's there for you. We really are here for you guys to make a huge difference in your life. So we really encourage you to share as much as you can. The Facebook community is there. If you haven't joined that, go ahead and search for that. But we really want to make this experience amazing for you. We really want to help you change your life and change your health. So we're from a very heartfelt place, and it really gives me pleasure today to be able to talk some more of the science with you guys about PH360. We had a conversation with Jen McLean a week or two ago on Healing with the Masters, really about the integration and how we talk about PH360, really giving some tangible concepts behind people with the food they can eat, the environment they should live in, the places that are best for them, their social circumstances, their careers, their mind and their personality, and lots of different ways that we can tangibly see how to improve our health and improve our life. But there's often other things at play as well. And so today is really talking about science and really understanding PH360. We've had a lot of questions from amazing questions from all of you. So thank you so much for your questions. And we're looking forward to getting through some of those today. So again, just wanted to remind you all the PH360 and why we started PH360 was really to try and help people identify a means that can help them prevent their disease from occurring and really help promote health in a way that hasn't been possible at this point in time. And because it's a preventative program, there's a lot of people who are reaching out with medical issues and medical help. And so I just wanted to make sure that we cover some of that today, but really make sure that we're very clear on the fact that we don't make any claims to cure any diseases. But we're very much interested in the fact that many people using PH360 have been able to heal themselves using the protocols. And so we're now conducting a lot of research internationally looking at PH360 as a tool that can help reverse or address chronic disease states. And so we thank you for your patience as we go through that process. And we're very positive and would love to help you with your health issues. But there's some interesting logistics that we'll go through with some of the questions today. So thanks again for listening in. You'll see there'll be a few little polls that will pop up as we go, just with some questions. There's a few little buttons you can click on more as you go with your webinar. So feel free to interact and engage. You can pop your hand up and ask some questions, and we will be taking some calls towards the end of the webinar. So hang in there with the questions, and if you have any, you can pop them through in the chat box as we go. So what to expect for the webinar? We've got the amazing Daniela, who I'll introduce in a minute, joining us today. We're going to go through a lot of questions today, and the questions are very tailored at PH360. But because we've had such a large volume of people that want to know more about the food aspect, and that seems to be the biggest challenge for people when they're first starting out, we're going to focus today a lot on the food and the sciences behind the food and why foods are shown for certain people in their profiles. So the goal or the intention of our outcome, the outcome of this webinar, is to really have you further understand PH360, to have you realize the credibility and the science and medicine, the depth of science and medicine behind PH360, which is, I hope it blows your socks off listening in today at how much is considered. And it's very hard to get your head around that when you're just looking into the system, because we've designed it to be very, very simple. Just nice, colourful things that can help you understand what you should be eating and how you should be going about life to maximize your health. But we don't talk a lot about the why in there yet. And so that's something that we're very, very much looking forward to sharing that with you today. And that's going to be what we're looking for. Our goals and intention and outcomes is that you can get a lot of confidence in the science behind PH360 and the fact that your health profile is there for you. So I'd love to introduce Daniela. Daniela, who is has a master's in science in human development. She specializes in the research methods and statistical analysis behind PH360. She's been working with the brains behind the science and the medicine, and she works very, very closely with our medical team for the past decade, doing research and data analysis. She's responsible for compiling everything that you see in your systems, and she really is the genius that helps Daniela and her team that interprets the medical information, the scientific information, and brings this to life. You don't ever get in an argument with Daniela because she speaks four languages fluently, French, German, English, and Italian. So she's got a very good understanding of many, many different cultures and how that comes together. So Daniela, I'd love to welcome you to the call. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you for the invitation. And yes, the four languages has helped me get that international experience with our international experts that puts it all together. So that's come in very handy.
And that's considering we have the team that's all around the world with the experts who work. So it's been great. Well, Daniela, I'd love to jump straight in. I know we've got so much to get through on this call for everybody today. So would you maybe just be able to start with giving us an understanding from your perspective? What is PH360?
PH360 is a system that uses a predictive algorithm that we have designed that uses many layers of information to be able to assess and analyze your current and future states of health. It provides you information on your nutrition, on your environment, on your state of mind, based on hormone levels, neurotransmitters, genetic predispositions, phenotypological influences, chronobiology, and the various sciences that come into what we use for health and medicine today, based also on some traditional and more ancient practices as well. So we've really combined everything we possibly can into a giant soup called PH360.
Awesome. And Daniela, just jumping straight into things here, because everybody's got many, many questions on the tips of their tongue, and I hope you're okay if we just delve straight and ask you a number of different questions today. But from your perspective again, so one of the biggest questions that everybody really always wants to know is how are my results calculated? How does the foods that are shown to me, how is that actually calculated? So would you be able to just give us a little bit of an understanding, maybe not too much in the detail to science, because I know that you can be quite confused at the best of times with your knowledge, but can you just give us a bit of an insight as to how the results are actually calculated?
Sure. I'm going to say it in the simplest terms as possible and just kind of think about everything as a simple brushstroke at a time. So there's lots of research that comes out there, and each one of them can be true for certain people. So we consider each one of those pieces of research as a brushstroke. If you have a big waist, we know that that would be a higher risk of cardiovascular disease and diabetes, for instance. If you have long legs, you might have a higher risk of cancers, or certain types, not all. If you have blonde hair and blue eyes, you might have a lack of vitamin D. If you have certain hair color, nail conditions, brittle hair, oily hair, all these factors are all put in, based on the research that we found, into various pieces of a puzzle that creates, once it's all put together, and we're talking about thousands of pieces of information here, all of these get put together to create the image that is your unique you right now. And so what we do is we kind of put each one of those brushstrokes as points. So how important it is based on, let's say we go to that waistline area, we know that bigger waistlines, well, there's different variants to that. So the importance are always counted based on points, and we kind of add and subtract the points accordingly.
Fantastic. Well, I think that gives us a good framework to work from. And I think we can really expand this quite a lot for how that looks tangibly with each person's profile as we go through. And we've had a number of different questions that have come through, and we've tried to pick out at random some questions from the users that we have to be able to go through some of the examples and really highlight some of the differences that are there and answer some questions as we go. So if you're okay, we've got a number of different people who I hope are listening in, or maybe will be on the replay for some information. And we've got a good question that you may see at the moment. I've got on the screen in the background, I've got a nice big fat pizza sitting there that people can see. And one of the questions that we've had come in from Leslie Green and a number of others is just the concept of avoiding mixed items in the same meal. Would you be able to just sort of talk us through the concept behind that, or why we might need to be mindful of that in some aspects?
Sure. Well, the concept behind it is basically not mixing proteins with starches, not mixing fats with starches. So you can definitely mix fats with vegetables, but just not with the starches. It's the way the enzymes basically process this in our digestive system. So starches are kind of a unique item. They require a lot of work from our digestive system. So anybody who has digestive problems or may have a risk of it, anybody who might have acidity, alkalinity issues, there's several reasons why that might come up, or in this case down if it's talking about points, so why this might be low on the list for somebody. And essentially we just need to make sure that the digestive juices focus on one type of food at a time, and so we just try to avoid them to help the metabolism work better.
Okay, got it. Fantastic. Thank you very much for talking through that, and hopefully that helps with a number of people who've asked that both on Facebook and in emails about just clarifying what that actually means with that terminology. We're going to jump now to, we've got Anita Walling who has asked a question about eggs, which has been a question again that has come up a number of times, which sounds very plausible. So how can powdered eggs be better for me than real eggs is a question. So you know, egg white protein powder compared to actual eggs. Could you just talk us through maybe how that may be the case in some circumstances, or why that may show up for some people?
Okay, well, it will definitely be in some circumstances, not all, because sometimes you get egg whites really high, much higher than powder, so it depends on the unique profile of the person. But essentially, if egg powder comes up first, it could be just because the pasteurization process and the drying process that's applied to egg whites. Essentially, that pasteurization process will get rid of bacteria like salmonella and avidin protein, which could cause some problems when it's bound with the biotin. So it's just for the digestive system of certain people where the egg powder might just be a cleaner version of the egg white protein.
Okay, excellent. That makes a lot of sense. And again, thanks again for going through the science behind that, because it is often confusing when we're just looking at a program thinking, how could we possibly have that as a preferred food? It doesn't sound natural. It doesn't make sense. But when you actually look at the science about the different body types and particularly the processes that are going on in the body at that particular point in time, sometimes we do want to avoid some of the constituents in food. So thanks again for sharing that. That's fantastic. Now we've got Vicky Bear who has asked a great question. I can't have coconut oil. Can I use it on my body? I use it as a massage oil for dry skin.
Yes, if it's on the food list, we really are referring to the ingestion of food. So as a nutritional component, creams and other things that go on the skin are being considered as a separate thing. So yes, you can go ahead and have coconut oil on your skin, or coconut oil within a cream that might go on your skin. It's not the same thing as what's ingested.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much. Now, I've got a question here from Sherry Starr, and we've had this question from a number of different people. Actually, it's been a nice hot topic in the Facebook group, which is a really great way that we're helping support a lot of people through. It's about people having a significant change in their diet from what they're used to and feeling like they're hungry. So they've been shown a low-protein diet that's currently better for them right now, and they're feeling quite hungry. Could you just talk about a little bit about maybe a low protein diet and how that's there, and if you have any tips for us on that front?
Oh yeah, sure. The low protein diet is usually temporary, and it doesn't surprise me that some people will be seeing that a lot more lately, because it tends to come up more in the spring when it's a natural time for detoxing of the body from the winter stagnation. So it just is especially a factor for people who have a risk of gout or cardiovascular disease or toxicity in their body, and they just need to kind of get rid of some of those things that are stagnating. There are various reasons why a low protein diet would come up, but if you're feeling hungry on a low protein diet, there are a few things that you could do, such as having five small meals throughout the day, drinking plenty of fluids. Sometimes we feel hungry, but we're actually thirsty. So drinking a glass of water when you think that you're hungry, and then seeing if you really are hungry there afterwards. Making the most of your carb options. Sometimes those can help a lot. So if you have some good carbs like oats for breakfast, they are more long chain carbs that kind of keep you satiated throughout the day. So there are many reasons. There are many strategies that we could use to try and reduce hunger. One that I've noticed that seems to help a lot of people is paying attention also to when you eat in the evening, because eating late at night, and especially eating carbs at night, which is a type of sugar, which becomes sugar while we sleep, creates a sense of hypoglycemia in the morning. So we become more hungry first thing in the morning. Whereas getting used to not eating too late at night does reduce our hunger in the morning because our body goes into a natural fasting state. So it's not skipping breakfast at this time. That's not what I'm referring to. I'm just talking about not feeling famished first thing in the morning and going for the first thing that you see in the fridge.
Got it. Excellent. That's fantastic. And also sometimes, you know, some teas and things like that on people's lists can help them feel a bit more comfortable for a while. Yeah, that's great. There's certainly a lot of things out there, and we'd really encourage you guys to be having a good look through your profiles. And again, I'm sure we'll probably cover this when we get to some more questions, but just being aware of the fact that anything on your foods list that's on the to eat list is really something we're encouraging you to be eating. Even if it's a one smiley, it just means you eat it less often. If it's a five smiley, you eat it regularly. And so the things that are listed there are all the foods that you can eat. It just helps give you an idea about the frequency. So don't feel like that you're sort of lost if you're quite restricted in your foods at the moment, because there is a lot of options that are out there. And again, the Facebook group's a great place to post some things. There's always some great recipe ideas that are out there for people, and also a great place of support too. And we've always been in a tough position, as you know, Daniela, when we first started out, is that how do we actually portray the information for people to first come about? And if we're truly being, you know, I guess if we're being true to what we're all about, and somebody needs to have a significant change in their health status, and they do have a lot of inflammatory processes going in their body, or you know, maybe even sometimes infections or things like that, we need to significantly change their diet. And if we gave them, if we showed people what they wanted and made it just an easy thing, then we wouldn't be actually giving them the right information. And so what PHU60 does is provide people with the information that actually enables them to change their health status. And sometimes that's quite significant because people need to change their health significantly. And so we always, and you'll see in the Facebook group, we're always very supportive of making sure that you don't have to rush into it. You don't have to start everything tomorrow. We encourage a transition time if that's more difficult for you, and that's a bigger thing. Take yourself, you know, a week or a couple of days or a couple of weeks if you need to, just to gradually move into that space. It doesn't need to happen cold turkey, but it is information that's shown to you in PHU60 that is the right thing for you to do for your health at that particular point in time. So just wanted to share that as well in between. Thanks again for that, Daniela, because that is a common thing that's shown up for people in the questions is, you know, how do I cope on this low protein diet? So that's good. And actually, I've got another one here from Sherry Starr, if you don't mind, Daniela. She was just asking about the difference between oats and porridge and oatmeal. And so that question's come about that things have shown up. There's a five smileys for oats and four smileys for porridge. So aren't they made of the same thing? How can they be different? Could you just shed a little bit of light on the difference between oats and porridge or oatmeal?
Absolutely. So oats, which are the raw form, very good, very high in nutrition, got lots of wonderful things in them. But porridge is the cooked form. So you have to consider that it is a different form of the same. It's been broken down. It's a warm food. And so because it's been broken down, it is easier digested because it's a warm food and increases your body temperature. So eating a oatmeal cookie, even if it's homemade with no sugars or anything in it, but it comes from the fridge and it's a cold food and it's raw oats, it's very different from a warm porridge that goes into your tummy. So we do consider them as two different things just because the way it changes the actual food's effect on your body.
Okay, got it. Thank you. That certainly helps clarify. And hopefully for listeners, that will start to be, and we'll have many of these sorts of things come up again. Daniela, thanks so much taking the time to talk through this, because you know, sometimes it doesn't make sense when we look at these sorts of things, and it's great to hear explanations behind it. If you've got a you know, raw food versus smoothies and all these sorts of things, that will come to some questions, I'm sure, as we go. So I've got to, just jumping to the next question, I'm sorry for just plowing through here, Daniela, but I just really want to get through as many questions as we can for people on this call. Julianne Hopes was asking about fertility treatments and infertility, and just wondering, just generally, is PHU60 safe for people to be able to use while they're going through any you know, pregnancies or anything like that at all?
Oh, well, we do have some questions related to pregnancies or recent pregnancies, breastfeeding. So it is important to be able to take the time to answer properly your questionnaire so that the algorithm, which is a computer, it doesn't know you personally, so it does have to just base itself on your answers, and then it will be able to adjust. Some of the things that would be adjusted, for instance, if you are pregnant or if you're breastfeeding, would be a high caloric intake. Certain healthy fats are included, lots of calcium, magnesium that would be included in there, some folic acid and vitamin D. So yes, there is a change. It does take it into consideration. Do pay attention to the questions that are being answered properly.
Excellent. Thank you for clarifying that there, Daniela. I'm just going to jump over to Tamara Darwin. That's a similar question. Am I able to use this while pregnant? Is it okay to be safe while breastfeeding? We've just answered that. Thank you. Now, just going to Diane Greenwald asks an interesting question here about diabetes. She asks, what if someone is diabetic versus pre-diabetic? And her actual question says that the questionnaire may not have taken into account her illnesses or issues, and what is wondering if PH360 has missed those. I'm pre-diabetic but not diabetic, and I have a tendency to an ulcer. Is there anything that you can share or shed any light on that for us?
Absolutely. Well, if you are pre-diabetic or diabetic, you most likely had a genetic predisposition towards diabetes, which the algorithm most likely did pick up. Now, I can't make any promises on anything because we are talking about medical conditions that would need to be examined individually. So I can go into Diane Greenwald's personal profile and see if it's picked it up or not. But I can tell you from my experience with the many people that I have seen so far, it generally does. If you actually say that you have diabetes, it'll give you a very strict regimen, reducing or eliminating high glycemic index foods and really giving you some of the foods that help lower blood sugar levels if they're too high. So just kind of regulating them a little bit. If you are pre-diabetic, it just minimizes that same thing. So it kind of gives you somewhat of that diabetic diet by eliminating foods that are high in glycemic index, such as white sugars and rice maybe would be lower on your food list, but just not quite as extreme.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. And it is an important question. I think there's going to be a few more questions around that that we'll maybe cover in a bit more detail when we get there as well, about either pre-disease states or people with diagnosed medical conditions and using PH360. So just some more questions here. We've got Josie Brisbois. Can I drink white tea instead of green tea? So green tea is obviously shown up on the list. Can I drink white tea instead of green tea is the question there.
White tea is not quite exactly the same as green tea. They are both high in antioxidants. I'm assuming that that's probably why the green tea has been shown as high on the list. I do understand that they do have different flavors. White tea is a lot less flavorful than the green tea. It's why the green tea has become more popular. But we do recommend the green tea over the white tea because of the studies that have been done on green tea. So you have to remember that everything that PH360 uses is checked and double checked with research and science. So even though there's a lot of claims on white tea, which is a less processed form of the green tea, it just hasn't been created in the same way as the green tea, but it's coming from the same plant. But green tea is the one that actually has proven studies for its health benefits. It can reduce cardiovascular risk. It is very antioxidant. It has been helpful for weight loss, whereas white tea doesn't have that same kind of research. So it's not there.
Okay, cool. Got it. Thank you. There's so many things like this. So it's great just to hear some answers as we go through this for everybody. Diane Krim has a question. If one of my food items has four smileys, can it be eaten 4 to 5 times a week? So for example, almonds, the portion size is 15 almonds. Is it okay for me to divide the portion in half and have like 7 almonds so it can be eaten more times during the week?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's really about quantities and the types of food that we have. We need to consider portion sizes. So yes, it's absolutely okay to consider the quantities and not exaggerate in them. Not triple and quadruple what is being recommended, but kind of sticking within those recommendations, being flexible for what's suitable for your own personal needs.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you. We've got some more questions here, which is another common one that's been coming up as well, Daniela. How come PH360 suggests smoothies for me, but not raw foods? Isn't that the same thing?
Ah, good question. Okay, so The answer is technically, yes, you're putting raw foods in your smoothies, but we had to distinguish them for the simple reason that raw foods needs to be considered as they come, so as close to nature as possible, such as what you would put in a salad. You're not really changing the molecules of what you have in front of you. Raw food, like a true raw food, is nutritionally dense, organic, uncooked, unprocessed food, and it considers water as a drink. That would be the purest form of it. So that's really what we're considering for raw food. And the principles behind the raw food is that it's taking that purest form. The drawbacks of raw food, however, is that you might not be getting enough protein, iron, calcium, other vitamins and minerals, B12, and cooking does boost certain nutrients such as beta-carotene, lycopene. It can also kill bacteria, by the way. So there might be, you know, raw food is a little bit lower on the list, especially in the winter, because it drops your body temperature. So cold raw foods will drop your body temperature. Warm cooked foods will increase your body temperature. You don't want to increase it too much in the summer. And so things are considered also in the environment or your metabolic state at this time. However, cooked foods also has its drawbacks. Just like everything is a double-edged sword. There's always pros and cons for everything. So cooked foods, for instance, also kills natural enzymes in foods. And so there's a lot of nutrients, like vitamin C, is completely destroyed. It doesn't even exist in cooked food anymore. So this is why we always have to consider many different layers of the puzzle pieces here that put it together. The benefits of juice, however, while it's considered a separate thing and why it might be higher on the list, is because the blending breaks down all the fibers, so it actually makes it easier to digest, and it gives you kind of like a big shot of nutrients that your body absorbs like a sponge. It actually absorbs those nutrients better than it would in just the raw form, just because your body has to take the time to process those nutrients from a very dense natural form. So it could be just due to metabolic absorption that juice is higher.
Right, got it. Thank you, and thanks for clarifying that, because that is such a common question, and again a misconception often, that you know, which is best, is raw food better, is cooked foods better, or should I juice, or should I do a smoothie, should I eat the natural fruits as they are, or fruits and veg? And so that's I guess one of the big beauties and powers behind PH360 is the answer is it's different for everybody, and it's different for everybody at different times as well, and so this can change for people over time, and it's also very different between each specific person. And so for those listening in that did have a lot of questions about that, hopefully that's just helped you guys get a bit more of an insight as to why you maybe suggested cooked foods, or maybe why you suggested raw foods, or maybe why smoothies or juices may be higher for you than actual raw foods. Even though, again, at face value, it may not make sense, there's a lot of science behind the reasons why these things show up for you. It's not not just there for fun and games. So thanks again, Daniela, for clarifying that, because that is there's such a common question. We've had that a number of different times from a number of different people. So thanks for taking the time to go through that in a bit more detail.
You're welcome.
We've got another great question here about hemp seeds. And can you grind hemp seeds and use that as hemp protein powder?
No. Hemp seeds are quite different, just because hemp seeds is the whole hemp. So it's actually got the shell, the oil, it's got everything in it. When you have hemp protein powder, the way it is processed is it actually separates the shells, crushes everything down, takes out the oil, puts everything back together, and that processing creates what you consider a hemp powder. Crushing the hemp seeds would not create the same type of thing. It is a bit different.
Okay, excellent. Thanks again. And it's so great to be able to hear some more of the information behind this for people, because it's such a complicated area. And there's I often actually talk on different stages about food being the new religion, and everybody has their own their own take on foods, and everybody's really passionate about their take on foods, and it's almost to the point where it is a religion. People get quite feisty about, you know, no, you should be doing raw foods, or you should be doing juice fasts, or you should be doing the paleo diet, or you should be doing the Mediterranean diet. And what we're really saying here with PH360 is actually, you know what, all of those diets are great. It just depends on who you are and the right time for you, for your body to be able to process.
Right.
And so we're really an all-inclusive. We welcome all these diets with open arms, but we also caution people to say, hey, don't just go and follow a diet blindly just because it worked for someone else. or because somebody else is speaking loudly in the media saying, hey, the paleo diet's the best thing and everybody should do it. Actually find out what's right for you right now. And maybe it is the paleo diet that suits you quite well, but maybe it's not. And that's, again, just these, it's so great to just to hear some of this information out there now. We're really excited to, as you're very aware, to be able to finally bring this out. So coming down to, we've got a question about chamomile and ginger tea. One of my favorite teas is chamomile ginger blend. I have chamomile four smileys and ginger is two smileys. I wonder if the actual amount of ginger in the tea is enough to worry the balance if I drink the blend 4 to 5 times a week. Input much appreciated.
Oh, in a tea, I don't think that the ginger is quite that high like it would be if you were regularly having it in meals in big chunks. So I wouldn't say it's a no because it's still a yes on her food list. We have chamomile and ginger. I think that's a very delicious blend and they're still similar smileys. So I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Okay. Good to know. Thank you very much. We can keep our teas, but something we want to be a little bit mindful of as well. Now, a great question that's come up here by a number of people as well is around the dried fruit. So why is dried fruit suggested at 4 o'clock in the afternoon to support bone health, which is what it says? Why dried fruit? Why at that time? Can you just elaborate a little bit for us behind the meaning there?
That is a very interesting question and a very specific one. I like it. So dried fruit contains phosphorus, and dietary phosphorus is well absorbed in the small intestine by healthy individuals, and the excess of that phosphorus will be spewed out by the kidneys under a regulatory action of the endocrine hormones, which is just the hormones in our endocrine system. Such as the parathyroid hormone, and there's several of them in there. Vitamin D, fibroblast growth factor, all these things kind of work around the phosphorus that we have in our system. Now, the 4 p.m. is regulated by the chronobiology that we have. So I'm not going to go into too many details of chronobiology because it gets relatively complicated, but I can tell you that pH acidity peaks range from start around noon and last till about 5 p.m. That acidity breaks down the phosphorus that we need in the dry fruit, and that way it can help get into our bones the way it should. So that's a simplified form of the chronobiology explanation behind 4 p.m. and behind phosphorus.
Okay, cool. Thank you. In terms of the phosphorus throughout the day, the 4 p.m. there, is there a difference between sort of, you know, throughout that afternoon? Is there any specifics there that, you know, the 1 to 4 p.m. or anything like that at all that you can, I guess, elaborate on? Is it just as healthy or handy for people to be eating snacks in the early afternoon or the late afternoon there? Is that a pretty safe zone for people to be eating in?
Yeah, there's definitely, you don't have to set an alarm for 4 p.m. and have the bell ring eating your dried fruit at that time. I'm pretty sure because it starts at noon, if you ate between 1 and 4 p.m., you will get just the same effect. It's basically the phosphorus is being absorbed better and can enter your bones better if consumed as an afternoon snack in this case.
Got it. Excellent. And Daniela, just cheekily while we're on air, sorry about this.
Yeah, of course.
Because we like to adapt obviously to what people are asking, we have had a lot of questions about, you know, the specific 4 p.m. and trying to have to eat their dried fruits at 4 p.m. Would we be able to update that maybe in the section to show with the results that there's a bit of a range they can have there? We just like to make sure we always respond to people's language, and we've found, as you're well aware of the different languages that we've had PHU60 in, that the English interpretation sometimes in America and Australia particularly is a little bit different to other parts of Europe and everywhere else. So,
You're right. And you know what? We love the feedback that people are providing us. We don't know what it's like to be a user because we are, you know, our heads are in the clouds when it comes to this science stuff, and we just kind of spit it out there. So the feedback is absolutely wonderful. Keep it coming. We have no problem being able to change something like this, so I can get my tech team to go on it, and hopefully by next week we'll be able to see something like 1 to 4 p.m., which actually would be more accurate, and it's more flexible, and it's more manageable. And yes, anytime that there are misunderstandings or better ways of saying it, do give us the feedback, because we will be able to apply it. We're listening.
Thanks, Daniela, and that's so true that we very much appreciate the feedback. And so for those listening in on this, either live or or via replay. If you have any questions or any suggestions with anything at all, feel free to email us at support@ph360.me. support@ph360.me. And you'll hopefully, for those who've already engaged and interacted with our amazing support team, you'll understand how much support and love there is for you guys. And so please feel free to reach out at any stage with any questions that you guys have or any suggestions. We're always open ears. And again, we're really doing this for you. We want to make sure that this is something that you can integrate into your life as easily as possible, because our bigger picture is about the mission to change world health. And we have to be able to make sure that it's a very usable system for you guys to change that and to actually integrate that into life. So please always give us the feedback. And Daniela, thanks for you guys for always being very adaptive on that front. Very, very cool. Now, we're jumping over to a question about carrots here. And again, this is something that we've had a few clarifications on, just the amount or the type of food here. So the question was, I see a whole list. There is, for instance, one carrot, like this carrot on the list, which is one medium carrot that I may have every day with five smileys. And there's also carrot juice in one medium glass that I may have every day. So that alone is more than one medium carrot. The question is, like, how do I actually work that? Can I have both of those? Do I have one or the other? How does that actually fit in, or how does that work?
That is a good question. That's kind of similar to the smoothie juicing versus raw foods component. The juice does break down a lot of what would be in the carrot. And so even though you do put more carrots in the juice, it's just a different component of it. But we really do look at quantity and qualities of the foods, and we are relatively flexible with whatever works with your system. So in this case, you're looking at juice would be your number one choice and carrots would be your number two choice if juice has five smileys and carrots has four smileys. So really look at those smileys as not something set in stone as this means once a day or this means once a month. It is really about importance and quantities of foods, thinking that you can have this often and you can have this not very often or avoid this very much. And that's kind of how the smileys are working.
Okay, fantastic. Daniel, I've got a question here that you've kind of covered when you gave us a bit of an intro at the start, but just wanted to read this out at the moment here, just to see some of the answers or how you might want to answer this one. So the question is from Nalini Satori, who just asks, how are the foods calculated? What other sciences are involved? How do things like embryology and all the other sciences fit in? That might be too much for the conversation right for today, but more specifically, after the genotype information is gained from the measurements and other data, how is it decided what foods would be best for that type? Any other food sciences besides Avita or TCM that are used in this info? So
there's a ton of information that comes in there. So if we were to talk about embryology, we do actually look at some of the predispositions, whether you have the mesoderm more active or the ectoderm more active coming out, and how it affects your body, whether you are hyper or hypo visceral, which means basically if you've got large gut or not. Sorry, I need to remember to simplify my words. So we do actually have a lot of science that comes into it, but Ayurveda and traditional Chinese medicine are some of the components of ancient medicine. There are others as well. You have to consider that we have been working with experts from around the world, from different specializations, putting all their information together. We double check all the information, seeing what's out there, what's been published, what's to be published as well. We try to, you know, stay ahead of the game. And so we are including lots of nutritional information for every single food that we have, and we're always integrating new information. So it's not uncommon to see some changes throughout, and hopefully we'll be able to publish these with little warning signs of, hey, new publications are coming out, just because everything is always changing. So yes, there's a lot of information coming in there.
Absolutely. Excellent. Well, thanks again, Daniela. And there's, we are actually running a health course in 2 weekends time, and you can email support@ph360.me if you want to be finding out some more information about the health course that's coming up. For those who are interested in a lot more detail about PH360 and how it all works and the sciences behind it, we do have that course, and you can actually go and visit personalizedhealthcourse.com with a Z for those who aren't in America, personalizedhealthcourse.com, and there's a link down the bottom there. The course is actually running in Boise, Idaho in the USA. I'm personally running that course in 2 weekends time, so the weekend after next, if you're listening in, we have actually had a number of different requests to extend the early bird offer from some of the Healing with the Masters crew who've come into the scene recently. So if you are listening to this, the course is $697 for the weekend, and we will actually be happy to be very, very generous at the constant requests for that to make it $497. So it's a bit more affordable for some people to attend. So if you're interested in that, personalizedhealthcourse.com, you can actually sign up through the website there, or you can actually email support@ph360.me and just say that you have been on the webinar and listened in and that you'd like to request the early bird price for that. I think we're pretty close to full capacity, so feel free to take action on that if you're interested to come. That's another great way that you can engage and learn a lot more in depth about it. That course is aimed at health professionals and health coaches. And so that's something that we will take through in quite a lot of detail, learning the ins and outs of PH360 and how to actually use that to change people's lives in a very, very positive way for them to be happy and healthy. Because there's a very specific method for coaching, a very specific way that we can actually help people understand what's right for them and have them integrate that into life, which is there's quite an art to it, and a lot of the science and medicine behind PH360 is very important to understand. So if you're interested in that, personalizedhealthcourse.com or email support@ph360.me for some more information about that. In that course, we'll actually talk about a few different things, such as another question here, Daniela, which is about supplements. And supplements is a topic that we're not going to focus too much on today, but just wanted to cover briefly with everybody on the call that we've had a number of different questions about supplements. How does that factor in my supplements that I'm currently taking, or which supplements should I be taking? And so just to address that in a very general sort of manner for people at the moment, and again, Daniel, I know that this is a lot more detail that you'd usually go into on it, but I guess to preface the fact that it's so specific and personalized, you know, it's too hard without logging into specific profiles to give the answer that's there. So I just wanted to cover that generally for people and say, that it is very, very different for everybody. And even supplements such as, you know, magnesium or calcium have different derivatives and different types of magnesium supplements, different types of calcium supplements that exist, very, very different types of supplements that range through the medicinal mushrooms, for example, which we've had lots of people question about, which then delves into actually more of a medicinal management area as opposed to just a supplement. So there's a lot of specifics that you need to understand about supplementation to be able to use it effectively. And so at this point in time, we're not going to be recommending supplements for PH360 in the general sense, so that you can actually see that in your profile. However, we do understand the information for the supplements as professionals, and so you can access that information through a personal health coach if you're interested to go down that route. And so a personal health coach will actually help you understand a lot more about the ins and outs of your profile. If you're looking for a lot more about, you know, why that actually exists, you know, why do your results show up for you specifically, you can go ahead and look at some personal health coaching. And so that really is a great way for you to find out a lot more about your specific supplements, which supplements are good for you right now, which supplements you're currently taking and which may react with certain foods in particular ways. And so our general advice for you is just be mindful of the supplements you're taking and how they can interact with your foods and with your health as well. And so, yeah, again, just at this stage, we're going to be keeping that conversation very specific with coaches because it's just such a delicate area that we don't want to just go and make some general recommendations without people truly understanding the different types of supplements that exist. And that's kind of an area that we're interested in at the moment. So. I hope that was okay for me just to share that, Daniela, on the supplement.
Yes, absolutely. I'm glad that you did.
Cool. I don't know if there's anything we need to add on that at this stage, but it is an area that we do actually cover in the medical realm quite significantly. So for those listening, it's not that we don't consider supplements. And again, the vitamins, the minerals, the nutrients that your body actually needs are already factored in and built into the foods list that is shown to you. And so it's certainly considered in that fact. But for the medical side of things and the more personalized health management, then some health coaching is the best way to access that for now. So you can go ahead and look at that that link that's in your window as we go. So I just wanted to maybe just have a 2-second break, Daniela, and give your brain a bit of a rest.
Thank you.
Just to recap again, we actually have another concept that we're going to be trialing out very soon, which we're calling Hangouts with Jules. And for those, again, of you guys who have experienced our amazing PH360 support team, you may be familiar with Jules and on the Facebook group as well, the beautiful smiling face of Jules. And we're going to be starting some Hangouts. And the Hangouts are a way that we can actually have access to a bit more knowledge and a bit more support, a bit more motivation and inspiration, and help with some accountability without actually going to the health coaching. So for those that maybe can't afford the health coaching, it's a way that you can actually access that information in a way that's a small group setting, maybe with about 12 to 15 people. They're going to be fairly small groups. And these are Hangouts with, you know, similar to what we're doing right now, where you can actually dial in and Jules will be able to take you through certain areas. And we've got a link that that we can make available at some stage very soon about these Hangouts with Jules. And if you, for those who do have something handy or want to open up a new tab, you can type in myph360.com/hangouts-with-Jules. So myph360.com/hangouts-with-Jules. And that will take you to the page. We'll send you this information as well so that you can engage further. And there's going to be a much smaller fee that's associated with that for some small group coaching. But we actually really want to open that up right now to get people engaged and get people supported. And we want to open that up for free right now. And so for those, again, who are listening to the webinar and for those who are listening to the replay, if you go ahead and hit that link or the link that we'll provide with you in the actual replay in the video version, if you click on that link, you'll notice that you can sign up for Jules, and she's actually going to run three separate sessions for this. And so it's going to be a five-part series that's going to go through every third day through a number of different ways to walk you through from start to finish through PH360 and getting maximum results, which is really amazing. And we're going to go through that for one rotation, and then a second rotation, and a third rotation, which is going to take us up till the end of May. And so this is going to be free for anyone who's listening in and anyone who's available. We're not going to probably advertise this publicly, but this is something that you can actually join in small group coaching for free until the end of May. So I really encourage you guys to take advantage of that. If you're looking for some more support, some more inspiration, Jules is absolutely amazing. So Hangouts with Jules, keep an eye out for that one, because that is coming your way some stage fairly soon. And again, those that need any more personalized information and personalized specific management, specifically if you're suffering from any chronic pain or disease states, chronic conditions that are medically diagnosed that you've had for a number of years, we're talking cancers, we're talking autoimmune issues, we're talking, you know, chronic heart issues or diabetes, you really need to be engaging with a medical professional or health professional to help you in a lot more specific detail. And that's where the personal health coaching can come in really, really handy, to be able to work in conjunction with your PH360 profile. And we've specifically designed PH360 to be an assistive tool for health professionals and for doctors to work with you. It's not one or the other. We don't have to choose. It's not a replacement for your doctor or a replacement for your health professional. It actually works in conjunction with them and helps them guide you on the right path. So I encourage you to check out the health coaching and the Hangouts with Jules if you're interested in some more personalized support. We're really excited to be able to bring those services to you guys. So hopefully that's something you guys can check out. And again, give us the feedback. We'd love to hear from you. So Danielle, I'd love to continue back into the second part of that with some more questions. And this time I'd actually like to see if we can, we've got a number of different people who've provided their information for us about their specific profiles. And where we've answered some questions to start with, it can help a lot of people. I also think it would be beneficial if this works. I hope this is going to work, but for me to log in live to a couple of different people's profiles. Don't worry, guys, no one's going to see your password logging in, but we can actually show a few different profiles, and you could maybe just talk us through some of the things there for questions specifically for people, and maybe help people get their heads around exactly what we're looking at on the screen. So are you okay if we have a crack at something like that?
Yeah, we can definitely try that. Let's give it a shot.
All right, excellent. So let me just, you'll have to bear with me for a minute here while we go. We've got a question from Angela Berlingeri, who has asked about specifically about kidney stones. And so if you bear with me for a sec, I'm just going to see if this is going to work. So thank you for your patience.
I'm just going to be logging in on my end too, so I can see some of the secret stuff in the back that you guys don't see in the front, let's just say.
Okay, fantastic. All right. So we're going to jump in here. Thanks, guys, for your patience at home while we do this. And Angela, I hope you're listening in and you can get some benefit out of this for you. And again, for others that are listening in, hopefully you're going to be able to understand the answers that are here, because it's going to be very, very relevant for everybody that exists so far. Okay, so I'm just into Angela's account here.
Mm-hmm.
And guys, if we log in, again, thanks for providing your details. You can always just reset and change your password at any time. So there's no issues with privacy here. And no one is able to see the login details that we come into. So where we're going here, we're into Angela's account. So in terms of some things that might be relevant for the oxalate there, Daniela, can you just give us some insights as to what we might see, I guess, particularly?
Well, if somebody has oxalate kidney stones, so basically kidney stones are being formed by the calcium that is in the system in combination with oxalate foods. So oxalate foods would be something like spinach and tomato. And you know what? Let's just do a search for spinach right now and see what comes up.
Okay.
Right. We'll see if it's in the foods to avoid or really low in the foods to eat. But I bet you anything. See, there you go.
Okay, cool.
Put that into the foods to avoid and see what happens.
Okay. And actually, that's probably a good point just while we're here, Daniela. So it's the powerful part of the search function is that you can search for spinach and it will show up in the foods to eat that you shouldn't be eating spinach at all. It's not listed there, which is quite cool. So
If we put spinach as foods to avoid, we'll see exactly that it is to avoid.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And again, if we hover over that, you'll see the different frownies that will be represented for those that aren't familiar with the smileys and frownies just yet. Whoops, I'm going the wrong way there. If we hover over, you'll see it says one frownie represents the foods to be avoided if possible, but you might slip it on occasions a few times a year if you have to. So it means that we want her to avoid spinach, but she's not going to, it's not going to kill her if she has a spinach once in a blue moon, but we want to try and avoid that as much as we can. So we really encourage anybody with your profiles, if you do have anything on the foods to avoid, just avoid them, even though there's different ratings between the frownie system here. Obviously, a food that's a 5 frownies, you really want to make sure you're avoiding it at all costs if you can. But the best way to go for your health is just to avoid anything that's listed on the foods to avoid. That's just the easy way to go. So, excellent. So, thanks, Daniela. Sorry, have you got any more insights you'd like to?
It would be tomatoes. And essentially, what we would do is we would remove foods that are high in oxalates. We would reduce dairy products that are rich in calcium, because those are the things that get deposited as stones. And we would increase magnesium in foods that, as well as phosphates in foods, that would actually help process the magnesium better. So this is a general, this is just talking general brushstrokes right here of what would happen with kidney stones. The other thing that I'm looking at, so tomatoes, there you go. You can see the tomato juice, tomatoes, all those high oxalate foods that are right there are removed. We don't want those basically interacting with calcium. So there should be something in the food recommendations that would say not to have combined foods. Let's see about my food guide, see if something comes up towards the bottom. And if not, I'd be happy to get my tech team to increase that, to put that in. Oh, look at that. If you do have kidney stones, it's not just avoiding certain foods, it's especially avoiding this combination. So you do not want to have your tomatoes and mozzarella with some balsamic, on there, because the tomatoes and mozzarella are interacting. The oxalic acids in the tomatoes are going to interact with the calcium when you're eating them together, and those calcium molecules are going to deposit within your kidney. So this is something that we would need to avoid for somebody. So
excellent. Thank you, Daniela, for going to that. And Angela, hopefully that's something that is giving you some more insight there for your questions, specifically for your profile. And you can see, again, the power of PH360, how it'll actually go and exclude the tomatoes and the spinach and things like that automatically from your diet, even though it doesn't make any sense. We think of tomatoes as a healthy food and a healthy fruit and vegetable, especially from spinach. Yet sometimes, depending on our health status, it's not good for us. And that really is coming down to that personalized health. So I'm just going to go ahead and log out of here. and bear with me for a sec. We've got another question here from who have we got one here from? Okay, we've got Charlotte Usler, who talks about healthy eating tips that are contradictory regarding phosphorus. Some foods may be bad for me because of it, and I may need some extra phosphorus. So let me just quickly go ahead and log into to Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
See if you can give us some insight there, if that's okay. Cool. Thanks for your patience, guys, watching here. Hopefully you're enjoying the information that and the knowledge that Danielle is sharing with us here. Okay, so we're into Charlotte's profile here. All right, so.
Can you tell me more about the question specifically related to phosphorus?
Yeah, just give me one sec.
Mm-hmm.
So it's to do with my healthy eating tips say it's contradictory regarding phosphorus. So I'll just jump in and have a quick look. Some foods may be bad for me and I may need extras sometimes too. So I'll just quickly, healthy eating tips.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It may be important for me to consume foods containing phosphorus because it's important.
Okay. I think in this case, what she's seeing as a possible contradiction or just lack of understanding, I'm not sure, is about the phosphorus that might be in the bloodstream and what gets absorbed at the cellular level. If she has neurological problems I'm seeing there, then casein and glutein must be avoided as it takes iron and phosphorus and makes it float around in the bloodstream, potentially causing some buildup in the brain cells. But if she were to look at phosphorus in the foods, it gets absorbed within the cells and it helps cell growth, maintenance, and repair of the cells and tissues. So you don't need to consider extra phosphorus necessarily, but in this case, the algorithm has considered phosphorus as part of her dietary recommendations. And so we've just mentioned the fact that eating phosphorus foods or foods that contain high amounts of phosphorus are considered or are recommended. So it's actually part of her diet anyway. It's just kind of like a little note to self. If you know which foods are high in phosphorus, to pay attention to those. If you don't worry about it because the smileys will tell you what you should eat.
Okay, fantastic. That's good to know. So follow the smileys as we go. So Daniela, just a quick one. I've just found a bit more detail on the question. So Charlotte also asks, my food guide recommends a different frequencies than my smileys indicate. So beef, carrots, eggs, all those are four smileys. What should I follow? So if I can just quickly go through the food guide and see, and this has been a similar sort of question to many people about those sorts of things. So if we're just looking at some other ones here.
So it says try to eat red meat no more than three times a week, white meat no more than three times a week. So let's take a look at her meat section and see what's in there. Foods to eat meat.
Oops, sorry. My fault. Okay.
I am seeing, for example, that there's chicken with four stars, there's beef with four, stars, smileys. We have veal, which is a red meat. There's even kangaroo if you're living in Australia, depending on what kind of food you like to get, because we are worldwide here. So it's really a matter of looking at all the stars. So if I'm seeing, for example, did I see turkey on that? Is that my mistake?
Let me just check.
Sorry. Thank you for checking.
Yep, right. Turkey's on there as well.
So turkey, which has two smileys, is still on your food to eat list. Chicken, which I think had four smileys, if my memory serves correct, just means you can have chicken more. So consider, let's say you have chicken two times a week and turkey one time a week, or, you know, kind of put it together. You don't have to be afraid of the things that are one and two or even three smileys, focusing only on the four and fives. Yes, focus mostly on the four and five, but the other ones really provide you a variety, because otherwise diets get boring and we do need to consider variety.
Okay, fantastic. So that's good. And we've had a number of different questions from people about the discrepancies there. So it really is, even if you are quite restricted, you know, let's say you don't have many four or five or even three stars, If you just get a foods list that looks more like this with just, you know, 3 2s and 1s, you can still have, you know, you could have dogfish for a meal, you could have mackerel for a meal, you could have duck for a meal in the week, and you can still get your 3 meals a week, even though the specific food shouldn't be eaten that regularly.
That's right. That's right. It's really talking about each of those smileys is talking about the frequency of each of those foods. But if you look at a long list like that, there's a lot of variety that can be had. And so we combine that with the recommendations, because we're not, of course, saying have all of these foods this many times. That would be a lot of food to consume in a month, because it does add up to more than what one can eat. So we kind of give those guides to be able to estimate. And then we know which ones we can have more variety on. So when you look at the food guide, it tells you how often you can eat certain foods or what the maximum is. Or it's a guide. It's not set in stone. It's a guide. And then you look at this list and you can see which ones were really my first choice, second choice, and third choice, and allow yourself to have fun with the diet. Because if you don't have fun with the diet, it's going to be very difficult to follow.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you so much. That is such an important thing, because there is more to life and health than just the foods and the specific science. Even though this webinar is all about the science behind the foods and a lot of detail behind that, there's a lot more to consider. So it has to be fun for lots of people. So please enjoy this, have fun with it, invite friends around, invite your friends and family to who are using pH360, or encourage them to use pH360, you know, to join you in some meals, to have some fun cooking, to throw some things in and see what you can create and what you can come up with. Because something that's fun is sustainable. Something that is perceived as hard work is a lot more difficult. So thank you, Daniela. Let me just log out and jump in, cross over to another question here. We've got a question from Shannon who discusses discrepancies for shellfish. Let me look at Shannon's question here. Mm-hmm. All shellfish are listed in my foods to avoid. My food guide tells me I should eat shellfish 3 to 4 times a week. Oily fish are either on my once a month list or foods to avoid list, and my food guides tell me to eat it 3 to 4 times a week. Just letting you know, just a discrepancy here. So let me just quickly grab Shannon's details and we'll log in with Shannon's. Thank you for the question, Shannon. And thank you, everybody, so far for your questions. They've been fantastic. And again, these are very reflective of the sorts of questions we've had from a lot of different people. So hopefully if you're listening in here and we don't get through your question today, because time flies when we're having fun, hopefully you'll actually still get a lot of your questions answered with how we're going here. So just log into Shannon.
Yep, if we can go straight into the meat section, we'll be able to see what's available and what's not.
I'll just have a quick look at the food guides as we've gone through. So try to eat shellfish 3 to 4 times a week. Yep, makes sense. And the oily fish, try to eat oily fish about 3 to 4 times a week. So we jump straight into there.
So if I'm looking at oily fish, I'm seeing... We go down a little bit. Oh, there's trout with 2. There's porgy fish with 3. There's gillhead with 3. We do have various types of oily fish here. Perhaps it could be just knowing what an oily fish is. There are many of them. There's anchovies that you can have only once in a while because it's got a 1 smiley face. So there's quite a few choices here. It's just knowing which one. See, there's trout you can highlight if you want, and gillhead bream is an oily fish. So do consider, again, the various types of smileys. We are talking about having a variety for the sake of having a variety. You shouldn't have the same type all the time for various reasons. So again, there's many, many, many layers for each one of these that has come to play. So the nutrition behind it, what kind of nutrients they contain, maybe some environmental problems they have. So everything is being put into consideration as much as possible and always being done. So we're trying to update as much as possible as well. Don't be afraid of using the 2 smileys or 1 smileys or even 3 smileys, whatever you have available. We also talked about shellfish. I'm seeing a lot of shellfish, actually. I think the misconception comes from the definition of shellfish, because I'm seeing things like squid is here on this screen right now. And what else did I see underneath?
There was
calamari, I see right underneath, in octopus, and those are also kinds of shellfish. Just to define shellfish, it is aquatic invertebrates. So that will include cephalopods like squid, octopus, and cuttlefish, and calamari in this case right here. It'll include the bivalves, which probably is what people think about shells, which is clams and oysters or mussels. But it'll also include mollusks like snails and slugs, although we don't have slugs in our menu. And then crustaceans, shrimp, lobster, crab, those are all different types of shellfish. So an aquatic invertebrate is actually the definition of shellfish. So I don't think that there is a discrepancy here. I think it might just be a definition that we can certainly improve. We can
change
the wording on shellfish.
Thank you, Danielle. I think that may be what's referred to here, because we have had a number of people, and for those listening in, we have had a number of people actually suggest the same thing, that it's saying that they should avoid, should have shellfish a number of times a week, but there's no shellfish showing up. And that's, I think that's a great clarification. And again, this is interesting, because we find this quite a lot with such an international audience, that as you suggested right there, you fairly clearly stated that shellfish does include crustaceans and other things like squid and octopus. And we often might think of shellfish as just as the immediate shell on the fish, like an oyster or a clam or a mussel. So is that maybe that definition there for those listening in about the shellfish? Daniela, again, seeing as you're being so kind on this show, maybe we could look at adapting that definition just a little bit to maybe say shellfish or crustaceans, just so that people can be a little bit more aware of what that means, rather than taking it literally as a fish with a shell.
Absolutely. We want to make sure that this program is easy to use and easy to understand. So please bring in that feedback. We're happy to help.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. And there's on the shellfish as well, the oily fish, I think we've probably covered both of those, but the shellfish and oily fish that are there, it certainly suggests that there's quite a good amount of those on that profile there. So Shannon, hopefully that helps with you to understand that there is quite a lot of variety on there in those areas, and it's probably just a terminology thing potentially that may have been the miscommunication there. So thank you for bringing that up, and Daniel, thanks for clarifying that with us.
Yeah,
probably. So we're doing well here, guys. I'm just going to, we've got so many more questions there, and I just want to get through a couple more if we can. Let me just see who we've got here on the list. Okay. We've got Amanda Barrett, who has got a lot of different questions, actually. Okay, this is going to be a good fun one. Daniela, asking about why mushrooms but not truffles. Gluten-free bread is not listed. Can I make my own gluten-free zucchini bread out of my allowed ingredients? What about medicinal mushrooms that we kind of covered earlier? Why not miso soup? Is it because of the soy, or is it because of fermentation?
Forget our first question. Let me do the first one.
Let me just jump in quickly here, and I'll.
Okay.
Thanks, Daniela. You're doing.
And while you do that, I'm just going to be able to answer the first one that I remember you said mushrooms versus truffles.
Mushrooms,
just
truffles.
Something general for everybody, so I can answer why you're logging in.
Thank you.
Let me just let you know that mushrooms and truffles are relatives of each other. They are in the fungus kingdom, but they do have different properties. So mushrooms grow in air, and generally they are spongy, light foods, and they don't actually contain as many nutritional benefits as truffles that grow underground, very close to those minerals. The proteins in truffles are intact, rich in methionine, cysteine, lysine, several others. Off the top of my head, that's all I can come up with. Sorry. And truffles do contain higher amounts of phosphorus and calcium. I can probably imagine it would probably be magnesium and potassium and iron and anything that would come from the soil. So this is one of the differences between truffles and mushrooms. So we had to consider them as two separate items. Mushrooms, however, are referred to as cooking mushrooms, like button mushrooms. We do not process the medicinal mushrooms, because those are considered medicinal herbs, and that's getting into medication, that's getting to a whole lot of ball games. So when we're referring to mushrooms in general, we are talking about cooking mushrooms like button mushrooms, very simple ones that you would see in any regular meal, like what you would see on a pizza, or if you're having a mushroom sauce or something like that. So do consider those. What was another question?
there's a few here. And Amanda, thanks for lots of questions. This is great, because there is a lot of people with a lot of questions. And we're getting all of the questions coming in. Thank you so much for all those guys, the ones who've emailed them through the chat box right now. We're aiming to answer as many as we can without staying here till midnight. So the next question was about gluten-free bread that wasn't listed for her to be able to eat. Can she make her own gluten-free zucchini bread out of her allowed ingredients?
I love the idea. I want her recipe. Of course, anything that you make from your ingredients, from the food to eat list, you can absolutely make it. When we say gluten-free bread, or if we're saying like potato chips, or we're actually talking about some of that industrial stuff, because you have to think that most people will look at this as their shopping list. So if we have gluten-free bread, they're going to go into the store and they're going to go get the gluten-free bread that's there, which isn't the same as if you're going to use your pure items from your food to eat list and create something homemade and fresh, which of course is definitely encouraged, never mind allowed, absolutely encouraged. And please share your recipes because I love them.
Excellent. Thanks, Daniela. And so medicinal mushrooms we covered. Why not miso soup? Is it because of the soy or is it because it's fermented was the question here.
Okay, I'm secretly going into the background here to be able to answer this question specifically for her. And I'm seeing actually both. Fermentation is, not all fermented foods are good for everybody. And miso soup is generally made from fermented soybeans, although it can have rice and parsley and other ingredients as well in there. But it is a fermentation process. So, it's not necessarily recommended for that right there. So yeah, in this case, it's fermentation, but there could be various reasons for why it would be on or off a list.
Excellent. So Amanda, that was fermentation for you. Thank you. Another question from Amanda, still on the same profile, says no to white rice, but yes to white rice pasta. How can that be, the question is more about surely the white rice pasta is more processed and has less nutrition than the actual rice itself. Could you talk us through how that might be the case? And let me just see if I can bring up that.
I'm just seeing one more thing related to the miso soup, that it was also related to gluten. She did mention gluten intolerance, and that's probably why the miso soup was taken off. So if she does have non-gluten alternative, but it's a fermentation that's also not ideal. I just wanted to let her know that there's a second factor that was also considered in her miso. Excellent. Related to rice pasta, however, the rice pasta is considered an alternative to wheat pasta, especially in her case because she's gluten intolerant. So that is considered. So you kind of get plus points for anything that is a gluten alternative and minus points for anything that will have gluten. That would kind of be the way of generalizing that. Also, white pasta is made from rice flour and water. It doesn't have anything else. It's just flour and water. So this flour, which is made without the husk of the rice, is a lot easier to digest. And it has more vitamin B6 because it's just the essential protein of the white rice itself without the husk. So even though it has fewer fibers, it does make it easier to digest. So it could be higher on someone's list in her case as well, just because of the way it's digested in the system. And white rice, however, isn't really on her list. She has other things like wild rice, long grain rice, basmati rice, arboreal rice, because essentially the white rice is the processed one. So these would be the better choices of the rice to have in various amounts. So there's some that are obviously better than others, wild rice being higher than arboreal or jasmine rice. The glycemic index is considered as well in here. So we have probably about 6 or 7 factors considered for each one of these foods specifically for her in her diet right now.
Okay, fantastic. Well, that's excellent. Thank you so much for covering that in a lot of depth. And Amanda, hopefully that's helpful for you and for others who are listening in too. We'll go ahead and log out. We've just got another question here that you may not need to log into the details for this one from Sophia Godden. Who asks about kale versus kale chips. That's a question quite a lot, of course. I will see if I can log into her account because she does have a few other little questions here. But could you just talk about kale versus kale chips? I know you may have just covered this in the concept, but that'd be great. Thanks, Daniela.
Okay, so kale chips is not just baked kale in the oven. It also has oil and salt and possibly other flavors that you might want to add into it. So this is taken into consideration. If you're not allowed to have oil or not allowed to have salt, we're probably going to reduce the chips. That's not specific for her case. I was just kind of talking about kale chips in general. So it could be going down on the list for those reasons. But also, we have considered the fact that being a grocery list here, if somebody sees kale chips or potato chips or veggie chips or whatever in a grocery store, and we have it on the food to eat list, they're going to go grab it. Well, the stuff in the grocery store, which is processed, it's got, there are various kinds. There could be really good organic kinds. There could be really bad kinds. So kale chips, just like potato chips, we're assuming that people are not just slicing up the potatoes and sticking them in the oven and making their own home-baked chips. Although if they're allowed potatoes, they're allowed oil, they're allowed salt, go ahead and do it. Same thing with kale chips. If you're going to make your homemade kale chips with all the foods that you are allowed on your list, go ahead and have fun with it. But we're assuming that you might not be, and so industrial forms of kale chips are most likely off the list.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. And while we're on Sophia's profile here, she does have a number of other questions. So there's some good questions, actually. So I will just go through this. She was asking, what is it about my current body constitution that allows me to eat dried peach, dried pear, and almond ice cream? So these are a few sweet foods that are recommended, very grateful for, yet also simultaneously curious about how the program arrived at that recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm looking at almond ice cream right now. So that's what I'm, there's actually several factors for almond ice cream for her. One of them is the flavors. And flavin 3 oils that are in almonds are quite beneficial for the gastrointestinal tract for her. The almond skin, which is used by most almond byproducts, such as almond ice cream specifically, has a great amount of antioxidant properties. So the antioxidant properties are most often found in the skin, and the skin is used in things like almond ice cream and almond milk. Almond ice cream is not very high in calories in comparison to regular ice cream, and it has a moderate glycemic index. You'll see that the glycemic index is 62, so up to 70 is relatively, we're talking relatively okay, not that good, but it's much better than rice ice cream or regular ice cream. So Sophia wants to lose weight. She needs to enjoy a meal plan. That's part of her character. So she needs to have some fun with it because of her biotype and some conditions. So her personality requires a few things that are a lot more pleasurable. She can't be too strict. Otherwise, she's going to quit on herself and kind of feel depressed about it. So some nice foods are put in there. And therefore, she also has something really cool like almond ice cream as a choice. Also, especially for the warmer season, something that is refreshing and lowers the body temperature is being recommended, as opposed to maybe some warmer conditions. She's probably not going to get almond ice cream in the winter. It's going to be reduced. But, you know, that way she can benefit from things like magnesium and calcium and other things that go in. And there's actually several more. I'm going to stop there. But let's just say all of these conditions have been taken into consideration for her specifically.
Excellent. So. Thank you. And hopefully that's helpful, Sophia, as we're going. One last thing that she asked, which is, again, a great question worth mentioning. So based on the personal data entered by Sophia, is pH360 able to take into account a potential viral or bacterial infection? I noticed that some of my recommended foods are antimicrobial in nature. I spent August 2014, during which month pH360 says my immune system is the lowest. In Costa Rica, in a tropical climate, which pH60 notes I may be particularly sensitive to. And after that period, I gained almost 30 pounds relatively quickly. So she found the insights quite interesting. So could you just share a little bit about that maybe, Danielle?
Sure, I can. So it does take into consideration potential viral and bacterial infections based on lifestyle choices, on predispositions of your phenotype, which is a genotype, and your environmental conditions, your colonel biology. Several things are taken into consideration all at once, bunched up together. And I'm really glad that you noticed how accurate pH360 could be about such a past event. I'm really sorry that you had to go through that. But at the same time, I got to say, I'm a little bit happy that I have proof that it really does work and it's accurate. I really hope that pH360 can help you prevent any future issues. But yes, it absolutely does consider potential viral and bacterial infections.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So, Sophia, hopefully that helps clarify some of that for you and for others listening in as well. Thank you so much for your questions. We're just going to jump. We might take sort of two more questions here. There's a question from Aileen Collins, who asks about tuna and salmon and fresh versus canned. So let me just quickly log into Aileen's account here. Just give me one sec. Danielle, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Get through this.
Okay.
And as we're going through this, guys, you'll probably see there's been some little polls I've noticed that have come up that you guys have voted for.
Eileen Collins, sorry?
Eileen Collins, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to log in as well.
We've just had a question that came up before that I saw about what does the epi and epigenetics stand for? Does it mean outside or inside? And 70% of people said outside, which was correct, and 30% of people said inside, which means that that's some good fun learning on this call. Hopefully that 30% have learned something new today, if not everything that Danielle is covering. So epi meaning derived from the Greek word, which means outside or above or beyond. And so we refer to epigenetics as the things outside of our genes that actually influence the way our genes are expressed. Okay, Danielle, so we're in here for Eileen's account, and her questions come along, and she says she's got on her list she can have canned tuna and salmon, but on her no list she has tuna and canned salmon. Can you help her understand that? So just go through the section there.
Okay. So looking at canned tuna, the main reason she has canned tuna is because of the iodine content that it contains that the fresh tuna doesn't. So right now she is in a time of her life where she does need a little bit more of the iodine in her system. And so foods that are high in iodine have been increased, and therefore canned tuna has been put up there. Now, canned tuna isn't super high on her list. It's just every once in a while in comparison to the fresh kind, and the iodine is the reason for that difference. I'm looking at salmon. Now, salmon is good for many reasons, including the essential fatty acids and several reasons that have been put in there. But one of the things that dropped the canned salmon down on the list is because of reports on canned salmon quality that this food item has. So the fresh counterpart, the fresh salmon, is the better option for her. And yeah, that's basically why it's been put up there.
Okay, fantastic. And I think the question also was into the can. So you've answered that well. The last question that was there for on the list was similar to the one you answered before, where it's asked, excuse me, why would mushrooms and miso soup be on my no list? Is there any way you can just give us a quick answer there for the back end, Eileen?
So I'm just taking a look at mushrooms and... Okay, and let me compare it to miso. Okay, I'm seeing for her body type specifically, there is a reaction or a potential reaction to some fermented foods. Can you take a look at kombucha as well? Because that's also, it's an example of another fermented food. It's just kind of like the string that tied all of those together. Kombucha.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's right. And it just basically... when her digestive system improves, she'll be able to see some of these foods come back on. But right now, it is best to avoid the types of fungi in general.
Excellent. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Yeah.
Kombucha fermented. There you go. Yeah, it's basically the fermentation process right now. She just needs to improve her digestive system for various reasons. Let me just kind of skip all of that. And just let me tell you that right now there's about four factors pointing to this specific fermentation. There's other factors being considered as well. I just want to keep it general to not disclose too much personal information, but fungi in general needs to be avoided.
Fantastic. Thank you, Daniela. And we've got so many more questions, and the time we've been here for 90 minutes already. And actually I just made an executive decision along the way here to spend the time just going through specifically some people's profiles so they can see this on the webinar on the screen and help out a lot instead of taking some live calls, which is actually quite difficult for us to log in with privacy reasons to their accounts and for everyone else to learn. But we'd love to actually look at hosting another session depending on if people are interested with Daniela to learn even more. We've got many, many more questions that we haven't had a chance to get through today so far. I just wanted to sort of throw that out there to the listeners. If you guys are interested to find out some more information, to have some more of these chats, again, we're here for you. We're doing this for your learning and for your benefit so that you can actually integrate this into your health and your life in a lot more convenient way. So please feel free to reach out and either email support@phu60.me with your to express your interest for us to run some more of these. If you'd like to put a note in the chat box to let us know that you'd be interested, or if you'd like to make a comment on Facebook or start a thread on Facebook that people can add to, because if we do have enough interest, we'd love to twist your arm, Daniela, to come back and join us again at some stage in the future.
I gotta say, I love my job.
it's very cool. So so listeners, if you could go ahead and let us know if you are interested for us to hold some more of these sorts of events for you. We've actually had an overwhelming demand from people. We've been inundated, and thanks for your patience, guys, with all your emails and response to emails with support about this extra learning, because we really enjoy doing this so much for you guys. We've actually gone ahead on the back of that and scheduled another webinar for next week. This isn't with Daniela, but we're actually inviting the awesome Bex to join us next week. And some of you guys, Rebecca Morrison, you may have seen her, the genius guru floating around Facebook and in support as well. And she's going to join us next week if people are interested to discuss PHG60 and actually navigating and integrating PHG60 into our life. So Daniela's been able to offer so much insight today. Thank you so much, Daniela, for all your amazing insight, for joining us and actually going through some of the science behind why people's foods are listed in specific ways and how that can actually influence their health. Really helps us so much to understand that there is a reason, a very specific scientific and medical reason for every single thing that's listed. It's not just something that's forgotten or not taken into account or doesn't show up for a reason or maybe in the wrong category. There's so much considered into the list of foods that go there. It's been something that we've identified from all the requests to have a call with Beck next week to actually go through how does that actually integrate into life. So it's one thing to understand the science and to feel more confident and trusting in the why behind PHG60 and why are my results showing this and why is that calculated. But it's then another thing to actually change your health and change our life with it. And that's where Bex is going to be able to walk us through, you know, PHG60's profile and actually looking at some suggestions and some insights in there and how do we actually use that in our life, because that can be difficult sometimes and challenging for people, especially if we are a bit restricted. So that's really going to help us navigate through what's coming our way and help us really understand a lot of that that information in a lot more depth, which is really, really cool. So if you're interested in that, we've got a link that we'll make available. You can actually go, we'll pop the link up. So it's something that's a lot easier to visit. And we'll send out an email actually to everyone who has registered and who's listening in right now live. Who is going to be listening to the replay is registered, we'll send you a replay of this webinar so that you can listen in again to the amazing content that Daniela has gone through and revisit some of that for your situations. It may help answer a lot of your questions or may spark some questions for you. So please communicate with us as much as you need to and as much as you can so that you can really work towards changing your health and your life. And the more you can engage with us, the more we would like to engage with you to help you on that journey. So if you're interested again in that webinar, we'll include that link in that same email. Please register if you do want to receive the webinar replays, because we want to try and avoid just spamming everybody with them for those who may not be so interested. So please make sure you do register so that you can take advantage of that. Maybe the control team may be able to pop that link in a message box for everybody if that's possible as well for the next webinar. And if not, we'll make sure we get that to you on email. So thank you so much for that. I guess just in summary for today, to wrap up, it really has been a focus on the foods, and we've had a really big focus on that just because of the demand of people that are really asking about that that information. So just wanted to leave people with the concept of epigenetics, and epigenetics meaning that it's a bit bigger than just food itself. We talk about the concept of your mind and your personality, of your environment, your lifestyles, your careers, your natural talents, things you do with your time, your sleep, your exercise and activity. There's so many complex interplays between all those areas that it's really important that you don't just focus on the foods. That's a good place to start and a great place to start for people, but I really encourage you to check out all the areas of your life as much as you possibly can so that you're really starting to affect your gene expression in the best possible way for your health to make a significant difference. For those who are, once again, suffering from more of a chronic disease or chronic illness that do require more personal information, we do have the personal health coaching available for you. That is a service that's there for you and for particularly for people who do have health concerns that need to have more information and more specific personalized information interaction than what PH360 will just provide. And again, this is designed to work in as an assistive tool with our health professionals to make sure that you get the health that you need, the health service you need. And we recommend anyone with a health issue or going through any health concerns, especially medical concerns, to always do so in conjunction with a health professional or medical professional. And that's something that we just want to be really supportive of in that process. So please go ahead and look at the links that have come up throughout the webinar on the health coaching if you'd like to check that out. For those that are needing even more personalized care, we talk about a number of different levels of healing, and we talk about the physical, which is what we've discussed a lot today, and how the foods can actually change gene expression, which is the science of nutrigenomics. But we also consider the fact that there's the emotional and the spiritual and the mental components that also need to be considered extensively for those who require further healing that may be suffering from chronic diseases. For those who haven't seen yet, we're actually putting together a visualization series. You can go to mattreeman.com and check that out. That's still there for the Healing with a Master's people to access. If you need to do some self-visualizations, it can help with that process in conjunction with your PH360 profiling. And I'm also running a health retreat that Jen mentioned coming up in June, at the end of June in Bali. And there's a link that that will come up that you can find out more. Hopefully that will pop up at some stage fairly soon on your screen, where you can actually engage in a lot more details in a very, very supported manner that exists with me doing personal healing sessions with you, with a full team that will be there experiencing that healing process with you. And we actually go through a lot of information. Actually, I'll quickly cover what is actually in that course, in the week, sorry, that's in Bali, just for those that are interested, because it's a phenomenal thing. I would actually like to attend that myself if I needed to. But it goes through, it includes a whole host of healers. We focus on the physical, the emotional, the mental, the spiritual. It includes, you know, daily meditations, yoga, hands-on body work every single day, from treatments from musculoskeletal therapists through to massage therapists, aromatherapy, actual spiritual energetic medicine, spiritual healers. We've got everything, and that happens every single day. It's fully personalized meals catered from your PH360 profile, personalized activities that exist, everything from those that are looking for dynamic exercise, you know, with beach sessions, through to those that are just doing some breathing and Tai Chi. It really meets you where you're at. And I'll be doing personalized treatments while we're there for people who need that extra assistance. So if you're interested in that, we're only having this for 10 people. So it's I think there's maybe one or two spots left. So if you're interested, feel free to go ahead and click on the link that might show up at some stage pretty soon. If it's not there already, I'm sure it will at some stage pretty soon. So otherwise, if you want to email support@ph360.me, they'll be able to send you some more information. Otherwise, the link that you can go to is myph360.com/personalhealthretreat-Bali. That's myph360.com/personalhealthretreat-Bali. And you can find out a lot more information that exists there about the retreat. So that's something I'd love for those that need that extra help and need the extra assistance, love to spend some more time with you personally. This is the first time I've actually ever offered this for the public to engage, and we're keeping it as a very exclusive small group so that we can do very, very personalized treatments and have a very, very specific. We're actually going to have a team of 8 healers and health professionals that will join us. And this covers everything from full medical review all the way through to the hands-on healing. So again, please encourage you guys to check out that link if you're interested. And I'd love to have you personally join me if you're available at that time in Bali at the end of June. That's June 21st to 28th. So to finish up for today, excuse me, just once again, such a huge thank you so much to Daniela for joining us. I really appreciate your time, Daniela, and your expertise in getting us where we have so far over this busy 10 years. It's absolutely fantastic to be at this point in time and just helping so many people with their health. Really appreciate your amazing knowledge and insights and the amazing work that you and your team do to really have us excel forward all the time in this area and bring the blend and integration of science and medicine from so many different fields into what we have as PH360 today. So thank you so much.
It's an absolute pleasure to be here and talk to you and talk about the things I love the most. Thank you very much, Matt, for inviting me.
Oh, of course, it's a pleasure, and we're just so blessed to have so many amazing, talented souls working with us on PH360, and we're forever grateful. And on that note too, for the listeners, we're always looking for super passionate people, you know, who are interested in and inspired by personal health to join our ever-growing community at PH360. So if you ever feel called or feel the need to be involved in our mission and very aligned with our mission in some capacity, please feel free to reach out to support at ph360.me and just let us know a little bit about you and about what you're up to. So once again, a huge thank you all to the PH360 team. You guys are amazing. And a huge thank you to you, the listeners, and to the audience and the PH360 community. You guys are absolutely amazing, taking such a great step forward with your health to make the time to come on these calls to learn more about you and how you can progress in your personal health journey. We will have the replay from this that we'll email out to you afterwards for you to cover anything you need to, and also for those that couldn't join. So please register for the future webinars so that you can get access to the replays that are available. And we really look forward to supporting you guys on your personal health journey so you can support others on theirs. And on that note, I just, again, thank you so much for joining us, and we shall be in touch again very soon. Love to hear your feedback on the Facebook profile, Facebook page, or support at ph360.me, and look forward to talking to you guys very soon. Thank you.